Since I am a pastor, I would prepare a sermon for when an emergency would come and Stan wouldn't be here. If he had a conference or something like that, nothing. So my original thought was, why does suffering happen in the world? Why, you know, people, Christians, non-Christians, were always saying, you know, look at all these hurricanes and all this destruction. And yeah, I have answers for that, but I decided as I was preparing, there's too many answers, I can't get this. So I changed the topic to, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a little bit more manageable because we know people who feel that way. We know people who don't believe in God because of all the problems that happen to them. And so I thought I would choose the story of Joseph. I'm not going to read one specific text because his story actually goes from Genesis 37 to 50. So if you want to go home and read 37 to 50, then you'll understand everything in between of what I'm talking about. But I'm just going to focus on the bad things that happened to Joseph because, in a way, he could have been asking, why? Why, God, are these bad things happening? So a lot of you know the story about Joseph, right? Probably in Sunday school you learned about him. He had the colored coat because he was Jacob's favorite son. And he was only 17 when this whole story started. So you can start in chapter 37 that his father loved him more than the other sons because he had been born to him in his old age and he made a beautiful robe for him. Verse 4, chapter 37, verse 4, says, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So begins the life of Joseph. He has his brothers hate him. He gets this nice robe and probably brags about the nice robe that he has. He also brags in his dreams that he is better than his brothers. So, of course, the brothers are going to hate him. But the brothers take it a little further. It just wasn't a bad thing. It was a really bad thing. And they say, oh, here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into the cisterns. And let's say that a ferocious animal devoured him. And then let's see what comes to his dreams. Oh, don't skip to 50:20, because that's the end. But, so Joseph gets thrown into a pit. He gets sold. That's pretty nasty. That's a bad thing. But think about it. Sometimes bad things happen to good people who think they're good. Sometimes those bad things happen because of consequences. So instead of asking God, why is this bad thing happening? God could be saying, what do you think this is happening for? Is there a reason, Joseph, that this is happening? Well, he was arrogant. He was bragging. He kind of deserves some of the hatred that his brothers gave. So we could say some of those bad things happen because of bad decisions. If we were to share our faith about those bad things that happened, and they're saying, why? We're not going to go ask them, well, what sin did you do? What did you do wrong? But we would probably be able to listen to the bad thing that happened. We'd be able to sympathize. Oh man, I've had a bad thing happen to me that I feel bad. We want people to come to our church. We need to listen to people and understand their pain and why they're not believing in God. So some of the barrier is the pride that comes. Joseph was too proud. It landed him in bad circumstances. The second time that we see him in a problem, okay, he's been sold. The Egyptians have taken over. And it's interesting because people say, oh, the Bible is an old book. It doesn't matter. But then we see a pharaoh in the story, and people think pharaohs are real, right? King Tut and all those others in Egypt. Yeah. So the Bible is real. That we know that. But it might be something that we can help others see, that the Bible from beginning to end is real. So then we have in chapter 39, he's in prison. He starts to make friends with these. He builds himself up to a place where he's serving under Potiphar, who was an official who worked with the Pharaoh. And Potiphar says, "Joseph, you're doing really well here. I see some good in you." And the scriptures actually say that the Lord's presence was with Joseph at that time. So you sort of see Joseph, he's sort of repented. He's kind of changed. He's confessed that what he did was wrong, and now he needs to understand who God is. So God is good and turns things around. He gets favor with Potiphar, and Potiphar gives him more responsibility. So here he becomes almost head honcho in Potiphar's court, household. Well, it says, chapter 39, verse 6 and 7. I'm reading this from the bottom. "Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.'" Does it sound like a soap opera or a movie you've seen lately? You know, Potiphar's wife is seducing Joseph, who's become good right now. In seducing him, she kept part of his cloak as he ran off. I'm not getting into this. And she says to Potiphar, "Look what he's done." And Joseph gets framed. He didn't do anything wrong. He was trying to follow God. But the bad thing happened. He got put in prison. Well, you say, as Christians, do bad things happen to us? Oh, most certainly. God does not promise us any more than others that bad things are going to happen to us. I don't know if you know there's a story or a poem by Annie Flint. You may have heard this before. "God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, and help from above, unfailing sympathy and undying love." So just because we're a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth sailing. In fact, we have struggles and problems ourselves. And sometimes we may even say, "God, what's going on here? Why are you doing this? I follow you, I love you, I come to church." Well, what's the reason? Because God might be wanting to grow something in us, a fruit of the Spirit. You know the fruits of the Spirit? What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Oh, you don't? Okay. So you know they're in Galatians 5:22. Let me read them in a new way, because I memorize love, joy, peace, kindness, and I know that. But there's a new translation paraphrase from John Peterson called The Message, and I highly recommend reading The Message, or giving The Message, portions of The Message, to somebody who doesn't believe in God or somebody who's a new believer. Because this sounds so much more fresh. God wants us to be, through the Holy Spirit, having an affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. He wants us to develop the willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. And then the last one that I don't like. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our to marshal and direct our energies wisely. The older versions say self-control. And that's what, that's probably the fruit of the Spirit that's, you know, hardest for me, for others to see in you. But all of those fruit of the Spirit should be living in our lives. And is it? No. So we have to grow in the Holy Spirit and find out how we can be better. So there's a saying called, a ship in harbor is safe. But that is not what ships are built for. Let me read it again. A ship in harbor is safe. But that is not what ships are built for. Look at those fishing ships, those lobster boats. If they sat in the harbor, they'd be fine. They'd be safe. They would not have any damage to them. But that's not the reason why they were built. They were built to go out and bring in lobsters. So do they get into storms? Yes. Do they get into fog? Yes. Those are bad things that happen. Yeah, but it's the way that life is. So what happens to those fishermen, lobstermen? They become wiser. They become stronger. Right? So just because you have the trials, it doesn't mean those bad things mold you and make you. So if we were a witness to Christian or to non-Christians outside of this building, which I believe we need to be doing, I don't think God is just going to dump a bunch of new people in our pews. I think we need to go out and talk to people. This is why bad things happen to good people. This is why bad things happen to me, and I believe in God. I think we need to be telling them that this is real. But when we do that, there's a happily ever after. For Joseph, not only does he get out of prison, but the Pharaoh says, I'm going to put you in charge of everything. And what happens is there's a famine, and he saves the whole land. For 7 years, there was famine. But because of Joseph, their years of plenty took care of those years of famine. So when we think about that as believers, we know God can do great things out of what's terrible in our life. A friend of mine in my previous church, her name was Jerry. She lost her baby. Her baby died. Horrific pain. She's a believer. My God, would my baby die? How can you let a baby die? I'm supposed to die before the baby, right? What pain she had. She was not totally angry with God, but she was hurt. Did not understand. God says in 2 Corinthians that when God comforts us, we use that to comfort others. She started a ministry and an outreach to women who were also losing their babies. And those women came to church, and those women became believers because of what happened. That bad thing happened, but it turned out to good. There's a woman named Johnny Erickson Todd. Some of you have read her books, watched the movie. She had a diving accident in 1967. It left her as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, which means from the shoulders down, she could not use anything. She was not a believer. I'm sure she questioned why. In the process, God melted her heart. And if you know the story, she began a ministry to disabled people. It is worldwide. God has blessed her. We can turn these bad stories into something good. And that's what we do. Here in church, we tell the stories. Daphne has all these tumors, you know, blah, 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 blah. We can turn it up and say it's a miracle. But do we say that to our unbelieving friends? Well, Daphne said it to the doctors. But when we get healed, when something turns around, do we say the Holy Spirit did that? When we talk to each other and we get those goosebumps and we get that feeling that something has happened at the right place at the right time, and we've heard or said the right thing at the right time, and we go, oh, I got goosebumps. Why? I think the Holy Spirit is moving. That we were in the right place because we were listening to God, that we said the things that God wanted us to say. Give praise to God then. You've got goosebumps. That's because God's doing something. At least in my world. I don't know. Dennis, do you get goosebumps? So I think this question might not apply to us, because we are believers and we say, oh, why God? No, we already know. Maybe I've done something wrong and this is a consequence of my sin. Maybe God has a reason to help somebody else. Maybe it's not just somebody else. Maybe it's going to be for a lot of people. But we need to tell this message to other people. This is a simple way to tell people. You can say, you're going through a hard time, guess what? Let me just hear what's happening in your heart. What is that bad thing? You know what? I kind of understand. Because I've had a really bad experience. It doesn't compare to yours, but just know that I understand that. And yet I believe in God. And I believe that God can heal. I believe God can heal you of this disease. If he doesn't heal you, then I believe that God can turn this into good. Look at Joseph. Use him as an example. Something happened. Very good. I don't think as Christians we need to argue about the Bible. I don't think we should argue about political issues. I think we need to just tell our story. Joseph is telling his story. God has made this story. And because of that story, God is making a story in each one of us. I've got my story. I may tell you some other time. Maybe when I preach November 4th. Tell your story to someone who doesn't believe. God is real in you. The Holy Spirit can use you. You want this church to grow? It's not Stan. It will be Stan. Stan is doing great things. But he's one of us has a story. And each one of you can tell that story to one other person. Invite them to church. And then let God do his thing. Let the Holy Spirit move. We're going to sing a song that I have played with the musicians, and I liked it before, but now I love it. Because there's power in power in the wonder-working blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we claim the name of Jesus, things can be done. And I believe that with all my heart. I've experienced that. I have many stories about that. So do you. Tell the story. Tell the story of God's power. We're going to sing. We're going to sing Power of the Blood. 334.